Stronger, better together. You knew that though, didn't you? Stronger, better together. We're looking at the baptism in the Spirit. We've looked at the past and we're going to look at part two today, which is about Jesus and the disciples. For those that haven't been around, let me just give you a very quick background of what we've dealt with so far. We talked first about the children of Israel, that they were in Egypt and that they were rescued. We all need rescuing. There may even be people here this morning that still need to be rescued. And Jesus is in the rescue business. The children of Israel were rescued from Egypt, and that represented the world. They went through the Red Sea. We talked about baptism in the Red Sea, that they died and were resurrected. They died to the old life and were resurrected into a new life. Then we talked about them going to the River Jordan and going into the water. They could have gone through the ford in the usual way, but God specifically led them through the Jordan and piled up the water again, the same as the Red Sea, and they were baptized into the Red Sea and came out into the promised land, into the land that God had given them, the land that they were to take through being filled with the Spirit, through being baptized in the Spirit in the Jordan. And they ended up in the promised land, and there were lots of good things. And just a few, we know that Caleb was a strong man, and he took the hardest place, and he took that part of his land, the land that was required in the hill country. We know that Samuel went around, was a great prophet, prophet to the people. We know that King David, and we looked at that just very quickly last time, that David, when he was a boy, he fought Goliath, and he fought him in the spirit, because that was the only way he could win. But mostly, they did that in the Bible, biblical words, they did what was not pleasing in God's sight. After David, his son Solomon came and started well, but finished poorly. And then there was a long succession of kings. And then the Israel split into Israel and Judah. And it went down and down, and eventually they went into exile. They were overtaken by their enemy. That wasn't what God planned. That wasn't how it was meant to be. But why did that happen? Because they decided they'd do it their way. Hey, it's the sign of today, isn't it? My way. But you can't live in God's kingdom my way. You have to do it his way. And eventually, we got lots and lots of prophets that God sent to say, hey, change, change, come on, change. But no, they wouldn't change. And then for 400 years, everything was silent completely. 400 years. Suddenly that seems a long time, doesn't it? And nothing happened, and God didn't speak. And it said the people basically just did it their way. Whatever seemed good to them, they did it their way. And yet there was still a remnant, one or two, that were still looking and waiting and hoping. And then into that, after 400 years, a man is raised up. And his name is, pardon? John the Baptist. John the Baptist turns up and starts as a voice in the wilderness crying out, repent! It's time you gave up your own way and it started to go God's way again. Repent! Come! come here and be baptized again. Come to the Jordan again. And say, yes, I will do it God's way. Wow. And along came a number of people, including people, some of them, that became Jesus' disciples. They became disciples of John. One of them was Andrew. But it wasn't me. Despite what Pastor Robin says, I'm not that old. They became disciples of John, and they began to tell the people, repent, repent, let's go God's way after all this time. And eventually, Jesus comes. And we looked at that last time as well. And Jesus said, come on, John, baptize me as well. And he said, oh, no, 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 no. You don't need to repent. He said, no, but I need to fulfill all righteousness. Fulfill means to complete, to perfect. Righteousness means to be right with God. He came to perfect his rightness with Father. Wow. That doesn't mean to say he was in sin. But we saw last time, what Jesus had to do was to say, no, every last vestige of myself I will give up. Every tiny little bit of myself, I will go into the water and die to it and rise in your spirit alone. And that is precisely what happened. He came up out of the water, and what happened? The dove descended on him. The spirit came upon him. And God said, hey, this is my son. Wow, I'm pleased with him. Would you like God to say that about you? Wow, I'm pleased with him. I'm pleased with her. And so he comes up out of the water. And he's taken immediately, we saw last time, but he went into the desert. And he's tempted and he's tried to make sure that what he's done is absolutely solid. And after 40 days, we know the enemy came and did his best. And Jesus said, no, not my will. Not my will, but only Father's will. Not what I think, but his word only. And then Jesus went from that place, it says, he went back to Galilee, and he began to speak. He spoke in one or two of the synagogues on his way. And he eventually, very shortly after he'd come from the desert, he ended up where he lived, in Nazareth. So let's look at that, because the first thing he did was to go into the synagogue at Nazareth. We're just going to have a look at that in Luke and chapter 4, a well-known passage. But we want to pick out one or two things there to see what Jesus had to say. So we're going to look at Luke 4 and starting at verse 14. I'll read it from up there. So he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. One of the people at each time at the synagogue was given the scroll to read from the Torah. And he was asked to do that, or it was his turn or whatever. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. Listen to this. This is what's just happened to him. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. The people think he's just reading. Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. We've been doing that already this morning. He has sent me to proclaim freedom. We've done that for the prisoners. And recovery of sight for the blind. To release the oppressed. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Wow. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. That was normal. They didn't preach standing up. They spoke sitting down. And all eyes, the eyes of everyone in the synagogue, were fastened on him. Oh, well, what's this young lad going to say, this young guy? And he began by saying to them, Today, this very moment, right now, today, as I'm standing in the synagogue, in front of you, this scripture is fulfilled right now. Wow. And they said, what on earth is he on about? Isn't this Joseph? Isn't this Joseph's son? But Jesus had just come full of the Spirit, totally dedicated, totally filled, and he was about to start ministry. He was about to start something they had never seen before. He was about to start doing what they read about. Many years ago, I was at a meeting with, I attended a meeting where John Wimber was the speaker. Some of you will remember John Wimber. And he told his testimony about when he became a Christian and started going to a Lutheran church in LA. And he sat on the front row and they began to sing and so on, do the usual things that churches do. And he turned to the person next to him and said, when did they do the stuff? And the guy said, I don't know what you mean. He said, when did they do those miracles? When did they start releasing people and so on? And this is the answer he received. We only sing about it. Listen, folks, that was the Church of Jesus Christ. We only sing about it. I want to say to you this morning, that can't be. That cannot be. There was a dramatic change because Jesus did not take these people that had been baptized and repented and said, we want to go your way. He didn't say to them, now look, this is what it's about. Do you remember your ancestors? They went into the promised land and you are now to go and do what you should have done. You're now to go and take the promised land. Do you know, Jesus never mentioned the promised land once. Wow. The people thought he would. The people thought the Messiah would come and rid the land of the Romans. They thought that he would set them free again in the land. But Jesus didn't do that at all. Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come near. It says that he went around preaching the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God? What's that? What is the kingdom of God? Have you ever heard about that before? I haven't heard about kingdom of God. What's this new kingdom of God? Oh, well, this kingdom of God is not of this world. Really? Wow. We only know the promised land. We only know this area. We only know that God gave our ancestors, Abraham and Isaac and David, and he said, this will be your land. But Jesus said, this is not chronological, I know, but Jesus said, no, the kingdom is not of this world. And they said, the Pharisees, so well, where is this kingdom? And Jesus said to them, no, you can't say, it's over here, or, it's over there. Why? He said, because the kingdom is right here in the middle of you. I don't see it. And the reason was this. The big change was that what they had done up to that point had all been external of them. The worship was external. The forgiveness was external. They put the hand on the scapegoat and they gave the sacrifices. The word was external on tablets of stone. But Jesus had come to fulfill what had been said before. There is going to come a time when it will not be outside there, it will be in here. Your worship will come like a river from within. The forgiveness will be within. The blood of Jesus will cleanse you from every sin. Do you know that? Have you heard that before? The blood of Jesus will cleanse you from every sin you ever committed. The cleansing comes, as it were, from in, within, outwards. The word of God, God has said to the prophets, will no longer be out there on tablets of stone. The word of God will be within your heart. And I'm going to take out your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, which will contain the word. Wow, this is a big and dramatic change. And so Jesus spends, if you can spend time, there are dozens and dozens of teaching. In fact, you could almost say Jesus didn't teach very much other than about the kingdom in its various ways. The kingdom, let's have a look at this one, Romans. This was Paul talking, I know not Jesus, but the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. We've already mentioned that. It's a matter of power. The kingdom of God is a matter of power, not talk. Let's not talk about it. Acts 1 and verse 3. This is an amazing thing. After Jesus has been resurrected, he was alive for 40 days before the ascension. And Luke in Acts says that after his suffering, he showed himself to men, gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Okay, well, here I am, he said. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. 40 days, his last 40 days on earth, and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God and the Spirit are completely intertwined. And the reason is this. The kingdom of God is where, like any kingdom, it's where the king reigns. The kingdom of God is where God reigns, where his word is authority, where he is the boss. And his authority on earth is the Holy Spirit. That's what he did. That's why Jesus went. He even said to the disciples, if I don't go, the Spirit won't come. This is only going to work with the Spirit. It's not going to work. Here, this is amazing. Jesus said, it's not going to work if I stay here. Why? Because he could only be in one place at a time. But if I go, then the Father will send the Holy Spirit to you. And then you will all have the opportunity to become like me. Oh, wow. Everybody has a right and an opportunity to become a little Jesus. Make me more like you, Lord. Make me more like you. Last week, Pastor Robin very eloquently told us about the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus had gone about doing all of the stuff himself. He'd healed the sick. He'd caused the lame to walk. He'd set the captives free. And then, as we heard last week, we came to the loaves and the fishes. And Jesus prayed over the loaves and the fishes. The disciples said, "That's great, Lord, you just pray. We'll just watch like we normally do." And then he gave them the basket each. Can you imagine? I'm not trying to go over the ground again. Can you imagine you get a basket and Jesus has broken 5 loaves and 2 fishes and you look and there's 12 of you and he split 5 loaves between 12 and 2 fish between 12 and my bit of fish is that big. And then he says, "Right, you go and do it." Ooh. We heard about that last week. But you have to do it. Did you hear that? And then we have Luke 9 and 10. In Luke 9, he takes the 12 disciples and he says, "Okay, now you're going to do it without me there." And he sends them out to the villages and he says, "Go and do it like I did it." And he says he gives them authority, his authority to do it. And they go out. Then in Luke 10, it tells us that he appointed 70 more. That means, it didn't mean to say that he just sort of went around Jerusalem and said, you. No, no. These were people who were already following him. These were already very close to him. There was a crowd. At one point we're told there's 120. So he takes 70 of them and he said, "Okay, now I'm going to give authority to you as well. So you're to go out." So now, not just 12, but there's another 70 going out doing this stuff. Doing the stuff. And they came back. What did they say? "Oh my, Jesus, we can't believe it. I prayed for somebody who's blind and they could see." Another one says, "Well, I prayed for a guy who couldn't walk and he got up and walked." Another one says, "Well, I had one. I've never seen him. He was completely demon-possessed and I said, 'Get out of it,' and he was all right." Wow. And Jesus said, "I watched Satan fall like lightning. As you did it. As you did it. I watched the enemy defeated." So why am I saying all this? What's this got to do with baptism? I want to come back to one more scripture here. Let's look at John 3. A story you know well. Again, I think we looked at it a few weeks ago about Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, "What must I do?" And Jesus said this: "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit." We gloss over it really easily sometimes. Just let's have a look at that. You have to be born of water and the Spirit, okay? Let's go back to what we've learned. Being born again is to do with baptism. Baptism is a death and a resurrection. Baptism is dying and being born again. You need to be born again. You need to be baptized. You need to go through that process of dying and being born again, dying and becoming alive again in water and the Spirit. You have to be baptized in the Spirit. Don't let anybody tell you different. It's there in the Scripture. We've seen it in the Old Testament as well. And you don't have to do it to be saved. Listen. Look what it says. It wasn't you have to do this to be saved. It says you can have to do that in order to enter the kingdom. If you want to be part of God's kingdom, you have to be born again. You have to be baptized in water and the Spirit. We've learned over the last time that what happens is if you get just baptized in water, you just go into the wilderness and you can stay there for a lifetime. It doesn't mean to say you're not saved. It's just that you don't get anywhere. We'll look at it next time when we bring it right up to date. But there's a scripture which says that those in the kingdom, if they don't produce any fruit, they're taken away. The power's given to somebody else. Because in the kingdom, what God wants is to produce the fruit. It's only what he wanted in the first place with the promised land. They were supposed to go into the land and subdue it and take it over for God's purposes so that God's name would be great. And people would say, wow, can you see what's happened in that country down there in the Middle East? Wow, those people have just taken it over, but they serve a God called Yahweh. And now God is wanting, not in the promised land, but God is wanting you and I to actually be the people that build the kingdom with him. Through the Spirit, because it's the only way. Why? So I can say, oh, look what I've done. Of course not. So people will say, wow, who is your God? How great he must be that he can do these things. And not only can he do them, he can do them through you. Just me. Wow, little me. With all my problems and all the things I've been through and all the things I've done wrong and got wrong. With having to pull myself up out of the gutter again. And wow, through me, Lord. Yes, if you surrender self, if you crucify the flesh and will live in the Spirit. I'm going to look at one more scripture and then I'll close. I want you just to... So we know that the day of Pentecost came and Jesus said that, you know, that I'm going to baptize you. John baptized you with water, but I'm going to baptize you with the Spirit. And the disciples, they were waiting in Jerusalem. And we know that the sound of the rushing wind came and the flames of fire, and they were filled with the Spirit. Okay. And then chapter 3 of Acts chapter 3. Let's just look at this. It's just an example, that's all. So they go into the temple, Peter and John, as they did normally, okay? And as they're coming out, or as they were going in, forgotten. So there's a guy there, sitting there. He's there every day. It says that. It says he went every day. And he said, have you got a few pence for me? I need to get some bread. And Peter says this, silver and gold I do not have. But what I have, I give to you. Well, what have I got? What have I got? I've done this with a lot of little children. Little children find this absolutely great. The older ones know it's nonsense. But the little ones, I say, do you know what I've got in my pocket? No? pile of love in this pocket. They look at me. I said, would you like some? They all go. So I put my hand in my pocket like this. And I pull this out like this. And I just put it on the top of their head and just do that like that. And everyone feels it. Everyone. What I have got, I'll give you. What have you got in your pocket this morning? What have you got? If you meet somebody going home, what would you have for them? He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And the guy got up and walked. And it says that he went into the temple going balmy. That's my word, not in the Bible. He ran around and he ran around and he ran around and he jumped. He was over 40, or he was 40 years old, and he had never walked in his life. And they said, isn't that the guy that was always at the gate? Isn't that the guy? Sure, it looks like him. Sure. Isn't he the guy that has never been able to walk? It says that he was praising God. Just to fill you in with the story, after that, the Sanhedrin grabbed hold of Peter and John and took them, tried to question them. And he said, What's all this you're teaching? And they said, well, we've taught it before. Why are you taking it now? And it said, I mean, you wonder how these things happen, actually, but it says that the guy who they prayed for was with them. And they said, well, ask him. And he's going. That's the best I can do now, actually. But, you know, what can they say? It says that they talked amongst themselves and thought, we don't have anything to say. So they said, well, you naughty boys, and sent them out. Don't do it again. That's what it says. Told them not to do it again. Guys, I want to ask you. Do you want this? Do you want to be part of the kingdom? Do you want to be like Jesus? Do you want to see this happen in this place? You may have never heard of any of this before, but I want to encourage you this morning that the kingdom of God, the Bible says the kingdom of God, the increase of the kingdom will never end. This kingdom is going to take over the world. Jesus will reign. Best to give in now. Best to give in now. The Lord bless you all. Amen.